So, hello. This is tonight we're going to speak about prayer. Why should we pray, or why and how should we pray? But before then, do you want a little funny story of me?
Yeah.
That really is true. We had this friend who was having a Halloween party with her kids, and she's a really big tall woman, and she was dressed like a big witch. And she's got long black hair anyway, which helps, but she had a big pointy hat, and she's about 6'3", this woman, and just big. And a next-door neighbour knocks on the door, all panicky, and says, "My husband's collapsed. He's having a fit. He's had him before, but can you help me? And she says, "Oh, yeah, no problem." So she runs out to their house. She gets to their house. Their house isn't done up for Halloween at all. So she's dressed as a big witch, goes in the kitchen and starts trying to help her husband's lad on the floor of the kitchen. It's quite serious, really. I don't know why I'm laughing. But she's trying to help him. And they were a bit leaning over. And as they were leaning over, there was a ring on the cooker. And it actually caught fire to the hair of this woman whose husband was on the floor. She had long hair as well, and her hair got caught in the cooker. Sat smoking and frizzing. Our friend thought, "Oh, your hair's on fire." So she grabs hold of her, pushes her head in the sink. Just then, someone had ran the police, right? So the police come into this house that's not done like Halloween at all to see this 6'3" witch. There's a body on the floor. There's someone with a head on fire. And she's pushing her head in the sink. Is that funny?
Yeah.
It's true. And there's no big punchline. She's still in her mouse. No, she's not. So, just to mention something about the Dear Way, the Alpha Dear Way, which is coming up, which is really, really important, a big part of the course, actually. It's a part of the course where you really sort of have a chance to pray and experience God for yourself and meet God, really. And that is on November the 7th at Kevin's Church, which is Cambridge Road Baptist Church. So does everyone know where that is, or could find where that is? Mm-hmm. That's on Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning till about 3 at their place. So we're all going to go, and it would be great, and we'll see you there. But it's really important that you try and make it, because it's an awesome part of the course, a really important part of the course. Maybe even 50% of the course, really, in terms of how much you understand and experience God and move on and so on. So tonight we're going to speak about prayer. Alpha takes a little sort of change at this point in the course. Up to now we've been hearing about Jesus, about how unique Jesus is, how Jesus is the only way, he says, to God, the only way to have a relationship with God. But actually, and through the cross, we can experience forgiveness, through taking steps of faith, personal steps of faith, through prayer, through acting on what the promises of Jesus, we can begin to experience Jesus and so on. From now on, it's going to go into a little bit more practical how to have a relationship with God. You know now that according to Christians, according to Jesus, you have a relationship with God through Jesus. He's the one who brings you into relationship with the Father and fills you with the Holy Spirit. You know, some people say, there are many ways to God, there are many routes to God. You can come to God lots of different ways. Or all religions are the same. And actually, you probably sussed already that actually that's just not true. Religions aren't the same because they teach opposite things about God. So they can't all be right and they can't all be true. But Jesus did claim to be the truth. And, you know, to say all roads lead to God, or there are many ways to God, is like saying, you know, I often say it's like saying there are many ways to the Queen. There are many ways to get to the Queen. Because God isn't a city. You know, if you say all roads lead to Rome, or there are many roads to London, that could be true. You know, there are many roads you can get into London. But God isn't a city, he's a person. So saying there are many ways to God is like saying there are many ways to the Queen, which just isn't true. You could drive to London, you could park outside Buckingham Palace, but you wouldn't see the Queen. The only way you would see the Queen, meet the Queen, get to know the Queen personally, is to have a connection on the inside. You would have to know someone who knew someone. That's just the truth. That's the way it is. You'd have to know someone on the other side of that gate, or it'd never open for you. Jesus is the person on the inside. Jesus is the person on the other side of the gate. Jesus is the someone who knows someone. And he says, if you want to come to the Father, no one comes except through me. But if you come to me, I'll introduce you. I'll take you straight in. And then, do you know what? Then you experience all the goodness of God and the forgiveness of God and everything else. So we begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Right, how do we develop that relationship with God? Well, first and foremost, through praying, through prayer, which is actually just speaking. Prayer is just speaking. Jesus' disciples said to him, teach us how to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven. He gave him some words, but the first word's important. Say, when you pray, say. If you want to have a relationship with God, you need to begin to speak to him. Christian prayer has nothing to do with meditation, lighting Josh sticks and going, and meditating on your belly button, or just finding your inner self. That's absolutely irrelevant in terms of relationship with God. God is here. He's real. He's more real than you. He's in this room right now. If you speak to him, guess what? He's big enough to hear you. If you speak to him. But very often people don't. People think Christian prayer is some mystical, weird thing. And when Jesus' disciples said, teach us how to pray, he just said, fine, when you pray, say, our Dad, who is in heaven. And then he gave them some words, which you'll have a look at in a minute. But the first thing to understand about prayer is this, that it's just speaking. And when you pray, you begin to speak. You speak to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Prayer involves all persons of the Trinity. You know, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close your door, and speak to your Father. And, you know, God is our Father. If you're Christian, if you come through Jesus Christ, God is your Dad. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Dad. And it was Dad. I mean, it was Daddy, really. The word Jesus used for his Father was Abba. If a little boy falls over, or a little girl falls over in Israel today, they'll either say, Imma, Imma, or Abba, Abba, Mammy, Mammy, or Daddy, Daddy. There were other words for Father that Jesus could have used, but he never did. He always used the term that a very little child would use, Daddy. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Daddy, who is in heaven. In other words, look, when you come to know God through Jesus, you can have an intimate relationship with God. You can come close to him and know him. You can experience his love and closeness. He'll receive you like a dad receives a very little boy or a very little girl, with open arms, actually. He'll embrace you, he'll experience his love. He'll listen to you and your needs and concerns, because he's good. He's a good dad. But he's also our Father who is in heaven. In other words, that means your relationship with God through Jesus is going to be intimate. It's not going to be religious. It's going to be intimate. You're going to know God, but that doesn't mean it's casual. That doesn't mean it has no value or doesn't matter. It's not a casual relationship with God. You know, I've heard people say, he's like, me and God aren't talking, me and God are falling out with God. And actually, people who talk like that don't know God. Because God is awesome, mighty, and holy. And sometimes, the reason prayers aren't answered and the reason our relationship with God isn't answered is because of the lack of respect in the way we speak to him. And I think that's true of any dad. Any dads in here, like me, who don't like being get cheeky kids giving you grief? You know, I've got 9 kids, so I've got a lot of grief I could have, and have had. But do you know what? My kids get absolutely nowhere with me if their attitude is off. They don't. You know, if they're demanding, hey, Dad, do it, or tell me why. No chance. I might know why. It might do you good to know why, but I'm not telling you why when you're speaking to me like that. You change your attitude. Often how we ask determines whether we get an answer or not. That's true. Many people speak to God like that. I've got a few questions I'd like to ask God. When I see God, I'm going to... But what, really? Really? When you stand before Almighty God, you're going to, are you? I don't think so. The truth is, God is almighty, holy, massive, awesome, and scary. Scary big. But here's the good news. He likes you. He loves you. The proof is he sent his son to die for you. He'd like a relationship with you. He wants to save you, forgive you, help you, to make your life into something, to make you into someone awesome. But in order to do that, you need a real relationship with him. That means you need to come to him confidently, through Jesus, that he's going to be your dad. But not casually or cockily, but with reverence and respect. Because he's God who gave you life and who will decide what happens to you at the end of your life. So there needs to be reverence, the right type of reverence and respect. Not religious, just real. And you know, when my kids, or anyone's kids, ask their dad with respect and, you know, Dad, can you explain to me about this? And why has this happened to me? Why? You know, very often then you get an answer, don't you? Okay, son, I'll tell you. Because you're asking me in the right way. Or you'll receive what you're asking for because you're asking in the right way. It's important. We're also told to pray to God through the Son. Jesus said, use my name. Whatever you ask for in prayer, use my name. That's awesome. That, you know, I could write you a cheque tonight for £500,000, no problem, and it would be worth nothing because I haven't got anything. And the problem is not the amount. I can spell 500,000 correctly, and I think I can get the notes right. But the problem is this. It's my signature on the bottom, which actually, when it comes to that amount of money, doesn't count for anything. Here's what Jesus said about prayer. Put in what you need. Put in what you'd like. And sign it with my name. That is awesome. That's what Jesus meant when he said, pray in my name. That's why Christians often end their prayers by saying, in the name of Jesus. Or, I ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or, we ask this in the name of Christ. We use Jesus' name because guess what? In heaven, his name is known. And he has unlimited credit in heaven. That's why Jesus said, when you come, come through me. When you pray, pray in my name. Ask in my name. Not in your own name. If you come in your own name, you're standing in your own goodness. You're relying on your own goodness. That's not what Christianity is about at all. It's about standing in Jesus' goodness and relying on everything that he's done and just belonging to him and speaking in his name. When we do, then we see results. Why pray? Pray because it develops your relationship with God. If I was going out with someone and we never spoke or never text or never communicated, we wouldn't have much of a relationship. And sometimes marriages go quiet, don't they? I always remember Ken saying that the worst thing that can happen in a marriage is silence. It's true. It's better to have a big argument than say nothing. The worst thing that happens is that death of silence. The opposite of that, a healthy relationship is full of laughter and challenge and fun and intimacy and attraction. That's how it can be with God. This is a real relationship with God. God really wants a real relationship with you and wants you to be you. But it means speaking. It means next time you get in the car, don't reach straight away for the radio. Keep it off for a minute. God's with you in the car. And you're on your own all the way down Linthorpe Road till you get to the shops or to work or whatever. And you have an opportunity then to speak to God. Everyone else will just think you're mad or that you're singing. But you can be speaking. And I mean out loud. Jesus didn't say think, he said say, speak out loud to God who will hear what you're saying. Speak to him, ask him for what you need, thank him for what he's given you, praise him for who he is, begin to pray, and your life will begin to change. Pray because you develop a relationship with God through prayer. Pray because Jesus prayed. And he said, you know, he just expected his followers to pray. Jesus got up early, it says, while it was still dark. Must live in England. Got up early while it was still dark and went outside to find a quiet place to pray. What's a good idea? One of the best ways you can learn to pray is just get out the house. Get away from the telly and other people and go for a walk. Even if you haven't got a dog, go for a walk and talk to God. He's there. He's going to listen to you. And you're going to learn to know God like that. Start to pray. Jesus didn't say, if you pray. He said to his disciples, when you pray, pray like this. When you pray, do it like this. So he just expects us to be speaking to God all the time like he did. And there's all sorts of rewards of prayer. You know, when you pray, do you understand that when you pray, you're letting God be God in your life? Most of us, until we come to know Jesus, act like God. The book stops with us. I'll protect myself. I'll make my own way. I'll look after myself. I'll look after number one. And it's worse when you get married or you're a dad. I'll look after the family. I'll look after... But you know something? As good as you are, you weren't designed to be God. And being God is hard work when you're not God. And that's why people have breakdowns and why families break down and why people mentally and emotionally at the end of the day cannot carry the burdens of life, because guess what? We weren't meant to carry all of our own burdens. We're meant to take our burdens, and this is what prayer's about, to God and to share them with him and leave them with him. That's the awesome thing about prayer. You've got these five things you're worried about, and they're worth worrying about, some things, aren't they? Some things you're worrying about aren't nothing. You know, I think my son might be on drugs. Hey, that's worth worrying about. You know, I think our marriage is really struggling. That's worth worrying about. I think our boss is going to sack me. That might be worth worrying about. Might not as well, but... Some things are real concerns in our lives, big concerns. The doctor said, I have to go back, I've got a lump. That's worth worrying about. But here's the point. With God, life is different. You take those real concerns that none of us can escape from in life, and you take them to him, and you speak to your dad about it. And remember, this God, nothing is impossible for him. He has unlimited resources. He's ultra rich, for starters. I mean, he laughs at cash. This God, your dad, is very wealthy. Your dad is bigger than anyone else's dad at the playground. If he's God, he's powerful. He can heal. Hey, he can make lumps disappear. He can mend marriages. It would no way mend without his intervention. He can deliver young people from drugs and turn them right round. He can do anything. That's why Jesus said, ask him. Ask him. Get asking. Get praying. Get connecting, get speaking to God. Don't carry all your own burdens. Share them. And then you have more peace and more joy in your life. You do. Because you're not carrying all the grief yourself. Does God always answer prayer? Absolutely, he does always answer prayer. And he answers in three ways. He can say yes, no, or wait. But I assure you, if you go to God with any issue, he's saying one of the three. You might be saying, wait, yeah, I'm going to answer that. I'm going to start working on it now. Just be patient. Keep talking to me about it. We'll start working on it now. Because this is an instant thing. And some things aren't instant. They wouldn't work if they were instant. They need to be worked on and changed slowly so we can handle them. That's wait. That's okay. Or you might say, no. You know what? You're asking for the wrong thing. You're never going to get that. You know. Please let me win the lottery. Please let me win the lottery. I don't know what it is. Some things we pray for are just not good for us, are they? Please let me go out with him. Please let me marry her. Might not be right. And we need to trust God. You can trust God. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Bell Graham, said, I'm so glad that God didn't say yes to all my prayers. If he did, I would have married the wrong man several times. You need to trust God. You know, when my kids say, Dad... The little ones, can I juggle these carving knives? The answer's always going to be no. You know, no. Why? You're stopping our fun. No, I'm stopping your blood flow. You know, stop keeping the kitchen blood free. I'm just stopping you from hurting yourself. When God says no, he's stopping you from hurting yourself. He knows what will work and what won't. He can see into the future and knows that if you made those decisions, where it would end up. Sometimes we don't know what's the best thing for us. We don't. That's why it's so awesome to connect to someone who does know the best thing for us. That's how good God is. When you speak to him, he'll guide you and protect you and lead you. He'll say yes to some things straight away. He'll just say yes to some things. Do you know what? To lots of things, he says yes straight away. Jesus, the Bible says, you do not have because you do not ask. Some of us just need to get better at asking. I haven't got this and I haven't got that and I'm going to have to work out how to do this. Not necessarily so. Some of us just need to pray a little bit more, just a little bit more. Just go to God and ask him, involve him, invite him in, and let him be God in your life. And when he's God and you're you, things work better. When you have the centre of when you have the corners of the jigsaw in the right place, everything else begins to make sense. If the corner's stuck in the middle, it's never going to work. Never. Let God be in the right place, and that means that you speak to him and you pray. There's some things that hinder prayer. Here's a few. Unconfessed sin. You know, if you have sin in your life, we all have sin in our life. At different times, we fall, we fail, we do things wrong. Confess it. Don't ignore it. Don't bury it. Don't justify it. Confess it. The minute you confess it, God will forgive you. So just confess it. Or unforgiveness. If we're bitter towards someone else and have hatred in our heart towards another, do you know what? Jesus can free you from that. He can help you get over that. Ask him, because that can hinder your prayers. And, you know, if we're being disobedient to God, if he's clearly said do something and we're not, or if we have wrong motives, if it's just selfish motives in our prayers, then we might not get them answered as quick as we thought. But God knows what's good for us. Okay, how to pray. Well, you know what? Jesus, first of all, started by doing the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father, depending on which background you're from. And, you know, that is actually how Jesus said to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's it. That's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. That's what he told them to pray. It's interesting. I think it's worth knowing that prayer. I mean, if you literally haven't started yet, that's a good thing to do. Get to know that prayer. It's in the Bible. Pray it over and over again. That's one of the first things I teach our kids to do. Every morning in the car, on the way to school, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Then we pray for the day and various things, but we always start with that. When our kids are tiny, I pray that prayer in bed with them on a night. When they're really tiny, I get them just to do the last word of the sentence. Our Father who art in
heaven,
hallowed be your
name,
your kingdom
come.
And that's Margaret doing that one. No. just the other night, I was with our little Benjamin, who's three, and I was doing this to him, and I said, Our Father who is in
heaven,
hallowed be your... And he said,
heaven.
And I laughed, and then he laughed. And he did heaven all the way through. Give us this day our daily
heaven.
Lead us not into heaven. Okay. But you know what? It can be fun, but it's important that you start where Jesus started, I think. I think that prayer is powerful in itself. I pray that prayer heartfelt every day, probably many times a day. I think it's the prayer. But from that, you know what? It's just the beginning, that, of a relationship with God, where your whole life becomes a life of prayer. And you can go through all the headings of that prayer. And I tell you, all of it is awesome. The first bit's awesome. We've already said about our dad, who is in heaven. You know, not, you know, all of us need the love of a perfect father. And many of us have never had it. Some of us don't know our dads. Some of us have had dads who haven't been there. Some of us who, the best of dads fail. But this dad never does. Connecting to his love is a massive healing process in your life. It's just awesome. Our dad who is in heaven. And your kingdom come. You're praying for God's will to be done in your life. And you know what? Prayer becomes an adventure. I could share story after story with you about different things from my own life that, you know, I've prayed little things and then later I've found that I've become the answer to my own prayers. One time, quite a few years ago, I was looking through this, there was a Christian conference on, I was looking through the bookshop. At the bookshop, there was a free little pamphlet called Praying Along the Silk Road. And I picked it up and I thought, oh, I'll have a go of doing this. Never done it before. Never prayed through a little pamphlet before. I'll take it home. Stuck it in my Bible, took it home. And I did it, and it was all right. You know, I just told you about different nations along the Silk Road. You know, the old Silk Route to the east. And every day, it had a little thing. I mean, it was 2 or 3 minutes every day. It was nothing heroic. And I did it. I didn't do it every day, but I did it for a few days in the month that it was on. Prayed it, and I learned a few things about those nations as I did, because it told you a little bit about the nations. And then I thought, you know, interesting, forgot about it. A few years after that, a door opened for me to be involved in Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, in fact, a lot of those Stan and Anz nations. Now, I remember the first time I was in Kazakhstan, I was going up to the mountains with a load of young people on an old beaten-up bus. There were so many people on the bus, there was no seats, we were all sat on the floor. I was sat on the floor, bumping through village after village towards these mountains. And one of the young people turned to me and said, do you know this road we're on now? This is exactly the old Silk Road. And when they said it, my mind just shot straight back to that little book. And I thought, yeah. The road I prayed along, I'm now rolling along. Somehow, when you pray, the things you pray for, God connects you to them. And you very often end up part of the answer to your own prayers. I just was praying for these nations I never even heard of. Now I'm preaching in them and visiting them. A couple of years down the road, I was in Azerbaijan on this overnight train across the desert, the desert oil fields towards Baku. If this sounds romantic, it was. It is awesome. And my little missionary pal was underneath on the bottom bunk and I was on the top, and I was just so buzzing and excited to be there. And looking out, it was just gorgeous. The moon was shining on the sand and it was just fantastic. Train rolling along, and this guy, before he falls asleep, says to me, you know, this track rolls exactly along the old Silk Route. And I just smiled again, you know. Here I am again on the old Silk Road. Awesome. Do you know what? God really listens to every word you pray, and you become part of the answer. You pray for your family, you'll become part of the answer for your family. You pray for people who are sick, God will enable you to end up healing the sick. That's how it works. He doesn't only answer your prayer, you become part of the answer. That's what it means when God says, when Jesus said, pray that God's kingdom comes on earth. It's one of the things you should pray, that God's will's done in my life. When I was at school, I used to pray that as though it was a really negative thing. You know, we used to say, I was brought up a Catholic, and we used to say the Our Father every day in assembly. And I used to say it like, let the baby have his chocolate. Your will be done. Like that. The last thing I wanted to happen in my life was God's will. That's because I didn't know God. And I didn't realise that if God's will's done in your life, that's the thing you were created for. And the happiest thing you could ever do, the thing that makes you buzz more than anything, the thing you're on earth for, if you find God's will for your life, you just connected with the happiness itself you have, with the thing people search for all their lives. So pray for it, Jesus said. Pray that God's will is done in your life as it is in heaven. Perfectly, in other words. Perfectly. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One day, I was in Manchester preaching at Martin Dunkley's church. Some of you know him. Martin was in Manchester. Went back to his house for lunch, and in the kitchen there was a picture of one of their relatives on the fridge. Well, there was a picture of a few relatives all together, and one of them caught my attention because he had a haircut out here. Massive, big, black, thick hair and a big, black beard. And he just looked like the wild man of Borneo, you know. And I said, who's that? He said, oh, that's our Uncle Bob, you know. He said, he's the wild man of the family. He said, years ago, he went out to live in Papua New Guinea with all the tribes, and he just lives like them, and he's just wild, you know. I don't know why, but when I was stood in his kitchen, it just caught my attention. This guy, I just thought, I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for Wild Man from Borneo Bob. And I went back to our house, and Margaret was praying with the kids. You know, before the kids go to bed, she usually prays them a little bit. And at that point, a few of them were little, so they were in the same bedroom. And I was travelling a lot, so we had a map of the world on the wall with little pins in different places I'd been, or friends we knew different places. And the kids would pray for different little things each night. Nothing flash, I'm talking about seconds, you know, just... they'd have a little thing to pray for each. Anyway, I came in from Manchester, got back, they were all in bed about 7 o'clock. And I said, and I told them about Wild Man from Borneo, Bob, you know, with a big beard and haircut, and they're all laughing. I said, who wants to pray for... I said, who can find Papua New Guinea? We found Papua New Guinea on the map. So who wants to pray for Bob? And our Rebecca, who was 3 at the time, said, me, because she still had a dummy. I said, right, you get to pray for Bob. And just pray that God saves him. That'll do, okay? So every night... with Margaret, you know, I'm never there, but Margaret was there with them. Just a little prayer. People go and pray for different things. I'll go on, Rebecca, you're praying for Bob, aren't you? And every night she'd take a little dummy out and go, Lord Jesus, we pray for Bob in Papua New Guinea. Please save his soul. Amen. Stick a dummy back in. This is 100% true. About a month and a half later, Margaret sort of felt, look, you've asked for him to be saved enough. Let's just assume that God's heard that prayer, okay? So just thank him that he's saved and ask God to do something else for him. So Rebecca started praying, Lord, thank you for saving Bob in Papua New Guinea. Please let him preach your word. Amen. Dummy back in. I go back to Manchester about 6 months later to preach at Martin's Church. Preach in the morning, back for Sunday dinner, usual preacher's routine. Sat around the table, Martin says, do you remember that guy you were laughing at on the fridge? Our Bob. I said, yeah. And my ears prick right up because Martin doesn't know that we've been praying for him every day, or the kids have. He says, a funny thing happened to me the other day. He says, I went to this family funeral. He said, and this posh aunt called me over and said, here, Martin, you're religious, aren't you? Have you heard what's happened to our Bob? And Martin said, no, what's happened to Bob? She said, well, he became very ill. And he nearly died. And while he was lying on his sick bed, God spoke to him in Papua New Guinea and said to him, Bob, what have you ever done for me? And he started saying all this about charity work and things. And then he realised he'd never done anything for God. It had all been for himself. And anyway, something's happened to him and he's changed and he's got the Bible. And he's going round the villages teaching the Bible. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
That's awesome, isn't it? I tell you what, I told Martin the story we'd been praying for him, but I don't think it's sunk in that we really had. And when I finished my Sunday dinner, I jumped back in the car and I was mad on the M62. I couldn't wait to get back home. I was desperate to get home before the kids fell asleep. Booted the bedroom door up and I said, kids, guess what's happened to Bob in Papua New Guinea? And our little Rebecca was like, I said, God has answered your prayers, Rebecca. 3-year-old girl, the other side of the world, a bloke who's been a big sinner all his life. Is prayer powerful? It is awesomely powerful. Little 3-year-old girl, couple of seconds a day, please save Bob. Okay, bang. And he's saved, and he's teaching the Bible. Hey, prayer's powerful. You don't have to pray for long. You don't have to say much. The important thing is that you just pray. Listen, let me encourage you. You can ask for anything. Do you understand what has been offered to you by Jesus when he says, pray in my name? You're allowed to ask for anything. Think for a moment. What would you like? What do you need? What would be the best thing that happened for your family and friends? You're allowed to ask. And God will not deny it. Do you know what? If it's half good, he'll give it to you. Believe and start to pray. And when you do, you're just going to see miracle after miracle after miracle, which just is just the reality of Christian life. Jesus told the disciples to pray for daily bread. That means you're allowed to pray for everything you need. Do you understand that? Who here needs a new car? No, seriously, if you need a new car, there are two ways to get one. One is to get a loan, the other is to pray. No, honestly, this is the truth. Well, that sounds ridiculous. I'll get a loan. Okay, you get a loan then. But there is another option to you when you're Christian. And there's nothing wrong with getting a loan. You might pray and get a loan. But I assure you, if you pray, you'll get the best loan. And if you pray, you'll get the best car with the best loan. Because God steps in and answers prayer. Jesus said, do it. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. Easy question. What do you need? God cares about it. You can ask for anything. This woman on the lunchtime alpha, just the other day in the church, she said, well, you can't pray for your gas bills to be paid. You can't pray for that, can you? And someone in the group rightly said, of course you can. And the person in the group said to this woman, if you had a daughter, you've got a daughter, haven't you? And she said, yeah. She said, when your daughter gets a bit older, if she has a few financial sticky bits and has trouble paying her gas bills, would you like to think that she'd come to you and ask for you to help her to pay them? She said, of course I would, she's my daughter. And she said to her, well, don't you think God's as nice as you? He is, isn't he? If he's your dad, does he care? He cares about tiny things. This is something that happened for me before I came out tonight. Our little Matthias, he's 5, he was sat on the window ledge while I was eating me Korean chips from that chippy around there. Anyway, and he was sat on the window ledge and he said, God answered my prayer. I said, I'm going to speak about prayer tonight. You tell me and I'll tell everyone. He said, last night, he said, I asked God if I could play with this boat with a big cannon on the front. Because all the boys and girls were playing with it every day and I couldn't play with it and I never got a chance to play with it. So I asked God if I could play with it. He said, and then he went to school today and they were doing this thing where they were saying, who's your best friend? And he said, and I put down Jesus. I thought, they'll think he's mad. But also I thought, well done, son. That's really cute, I think. And then he had to say about your best friend, something about him, and draw a picture. And because it was Jesus, I finished first. And I finished first and went up to the teacher and he said, Matthias, that's really nice. He said, because you've done so quick, why don't you go and play with the cannon while no one's on it? And is that an answer to prayer?
Yeah.
Absolutely it is. It's an answer to prayer. Well, God cares about 5-year-olds and their little... Absolutely. He really does. And 55-year-olds and their cannons as well. So pray. Pray. Pray for forgiveness. Jesus said, say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. Receiving forgiveness is very important. Every day, confess your sins to God and you'll be forgiven for them. Don't let things build up, but keep a clean slate. Keep asking forgiveness. You know, when you get angry, stop and ask God to forgive you. When you're lustful and you sin in lust, get up again quickly. Ask God to forgive you and to help you be cleaner in the future. Ask God to forgive you and he'll forgive you. And forgive other people. Be willing to forgive other people. Maybe you've been really hurt by someone and that is difficult for you, but God will help you. Jesus is the King of forgiveness. Jesus is the one who, as they were putting the nails through his hands, prayed, Father, forgive them. Awesome. He has the power to help you to forgive. You know, forgiveness is like holding something tight in your hand against someone. Jesus said, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. And your Heavenly Father will forgive you. God can help you forgive even if you're really hurt. He can help you forgive because forgiveness sets you free. When you let go, you're set free. First time I went to India, they took me to see the zoo, which I thought was hilarious because I thought I was already in the zoo. And the pastor I was staying with, Prem, said to me, do you want to go and see the zoo? I thought, there's all these colourful birds and animals around. I thought, do I want to go and see the zoo? He says, real tigers, jungle. So, okay then. So we went to see the zoo. When we were there, one of the things they did was they showed us how they caught the monkeys. And it was really easy. All they did was put a vase-shaped thing on the floor, tie it to the floor, and put a nice little morsel that monkeys like in the vase. Monkeys would come down from the tree, put their skinny hand on the skinny neck of the vase and grab hold of the fruit. Now they're stuck because the fruit's too big to get out of the pot. I mean, a monkey stick or a monkey stick. No thicker than us. If only the monkeys knew that to set themselves free, all they had to do was let go. That is exactly how forgiveness works. When you choose to forgive, and forgiveness is a choice. That's why God's put it in the reach of every one of us. God's enabled us to stay free from other people's damage of us by forgiveness. Not by hate and revenge. But actually, the weird thing is, it's the opposite that sets you free. It's letting go of that person, letting them off, freely forgiving them, because Jesus has freely forgiven you, and he'll help you do that. And you need to pray about it so he can help you do it. And then you pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, you know what? Jesus encourages you, and I'll end with this, to pray for protection every single day. Protection from temptation into sin in the world and going back to your own old life. But protection from evil, from the devil and sickness and accidents. We pray that every day in the car on the way to school, every day. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. There's the kids in the back praying, by the way. Please protect us today. Protect us today from accidents and illness, from accidents and illness, from sin and Satan, from sin and Satan, from all the rubbish of this world, from all the rubbish of this world. Keep us for your own special plan for our life. That's our little prayer every day in the care, as well as saying the Lord's Prayer. Do you know what? This isn't a boast, and there's no guarantees in life, but it's an interesting fact. We've got 9 kids. Do you know what? None of them have ever been seriously ill or involved in an accident or in hospital. I think for 9 kids, that's quite unusual. The years roll on, and I think it gets more unusual. But I have a sneaky suspicion it's to do with a tiny, simple little prayer we pray every day. And I'm not saying nothing will ever happen to us. Life doesn't work like that. But what I'm saying is this: prayers get answered. And Jesus said, pray for protection. You're allowed to pray for protection. Margaret's mum, my mother-in-law, when she was alive, she told me, Martin, I pray every day that God protects your marriage with Margaret, and that he protects you on the roads, because I do thousands of miles every year in the UK and abroad. And, you know, abroad, driving on the roads is very dangerous. Road deaths is the biggest killer of missionaries. And I've been very close to death on lots of roads, which I'll get to tell you about one day if you're interested. But, you know, the funny thing is, when she died, I felt the difference. I felt the lack of that prayer. I did. She prayed every day for our protection, and I didn't realise what it meant till she died, and I felt that protection go down. You know, prayer really, really matters, and it's an awesome opportunity. So let me pray now, and then and I just want to encourage you to begin to speak to God, because you just wait until he loves you. Father in heaven, we just thank you that you're so good, and that you love us so much, you sent Jesus to die for us. We thank you that knowing you is the best thing in life. Lord, I just want to pray for all my friends on this course, that every one of them will begin to speak to you. Lord, some of us have lived our whole lives with our back turned towards you, as though you weren't there. But Lord, you in this course, help us turn round and look up and begin to speak with you face to face. To hear your voice back, to receive your blessings, your gifts, your guidance, all the good stuff you want to give us. Lord, we do pray that you would protect us from evil. And we do pray that you would provide for us everything we need. And we do pray that your will would be done in our lives, so that when our lives are done, we look back grateful, not full of regret, wishing other things had happened, but grateful that we've met you and connected with you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.